Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
So this morning, I want to engage the word and bring the word of the Lord from Isaiah 61. And the title of this sermon is Exchange. And I'm excited because the prophetic word and everything that's been going on right now is just literally God's heart for today. He's just saying something, and we need to pay attention to what he's saying, particularly to you. Because again, we're all going to hear on a deeper level this morning, but God came to say something to you in particular. So this morning, I want to talk about exchange from God's word, exchanging what is painful and unnecessary for what's fruitful and available. Okay? I don't want to preach long. I promise I won't. But I believe that God wants to encourage our faith as a house, not just individuals, but as a house. Would you guys know and feel and attest to that God is moving us somewhere? He's moving us somewhere. And as a house, we go together. Amen? As a family, we go together. So today, if you feel like, I'm not encouraging, like, listening for other people, but listen for yourself and other people. We're going as a house. So if you are carrying a burden for somebody, I want you to actually pray into that while you're sitting here, as well as yourself. Amen? Because we can listen on so many levels. All right? So we just want to lean in that we continue to be led by his passion and his purpose. So in just a few minutes, we're going to gather around the altar and we're going to lift one another in prayer and let God refine us and define us for the days ahead. He's going to fill us and anoint us for the journey. Amen. So turn with me to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Okay, we recognize this scripture as what Jesus said when he started his mandate. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He takes what's in Isaiah and prophetically owns it. I fulfilled that. Jesus is saying he fulfilled it. Okay, but how many of us know that Jesus' mandate has now become ours? What was upon him, whatever his mission was, is how we define our lives as his followers. Right? Okay, so I want us to look at the scripture from a mandate perspective. Okay, so let's read verse 3 again. To provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I thank you that your word is on assignment, that you send your Holy Spirit to reveal your word to our hearts and our minds and our spirits. So, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit to rest upon us right now. Father, we say we want what you have for us. As a house, we want what you have for us, Father. We want to go where you're going. We want to do what you're doing. So, Father, I pray that you would burn this mandate into us today. God, that you would refine us, define us, and anoint us for this season in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one thing I want to look at in this scripture that just sticks out like a sore thumb, mourning and grieving in Zion. Okay, typically we'd probably say the mourners and the grievers are in the cemetery. But the mourners and the grievers in this scripture are in Zion, the house of God, the place where the righteous dwell, the family of God. Okay, ever been there? Mourning and grieving while you're sitting in the house of God, while you're sitting in the presence of God, not understanding his nature and what is available with what's going on inside. Okay, the city of God, Zion. But I think it's important to know that grieving is not an unusual experience in the kingdom of God. Okay, if we have a theology that excludes emotion and life and a response to life, we have separated ourselves to just spirit. Okay, again, spirit should be out front. If you remember me saying that a long time ago, your spirit should be out front, but you do have a soul and you do have a body. So we need to address them. Okay, so in fact, these verses that we just read right through to the end of the chapter are devoted to promises, the promises of God aimed at those who grieve in Zion. So you are not alone today. If you have felt like you are mourning and grieving, that you've got losses, that you've got disappointments, you are not alone in Zion. You are not alone in this family. You're not alone in this house. You're not alone in the kingdom of God. Okay? It's important for us to know that as believers, when we experience grief and loss, God has not abandoned you. I'm going to say that again because some of us, this is the biggest wrestle that we bring before the Lord. Where were you? In our questions, in our doubting, in our disappointment, God has not abandoned you in your grief, in your pain, and in your loss. He's never left you alone. This is the wrestle, and it's important that we do it, okay? He's actually taking notice and has given you an incredible offer this morning, the exchange, the promise, the exchange, okay? We have an opportunity this morning to pursue exchange until it becomes our identity, okay? Jesus said this was his mandate, but it's also who he was. It's upon me. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. It's who I am. Okay? These exchanges then become promise and identity. Okay? There are three things in this scripture that are a promise to us, but his promises require our participation. Everyone say amen. Amen. They are not claims. They are not words. They are not chant this 20 times. They are promises to you, but they require your action. They require your mental agreement, and they require that you do something. Okay? This is what makes faith. So the three things in Scripture that he promises us are, one, beauty in exchange for ashes. Two, the oil of joy in exchange for mourning. And three, a garment of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness. Okay? Each of these three promised gifts require that we give something back to God. Okay? Let me pause here. This is hard when it's become part of you. And we don't like to admit that it becomes part of us, but it becomes part of us. This is how I've struggled. This is how I've overcome. This is how I am known. But he's requiring that we let it go. I want to give you something else. So I'm going to have to let my kung fu grip go and trust your promise as I exchange this. Okay? What's being exchanged? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. That's a beautiful exchange program. Beautiful. Okay, I want to illustrate this by telling you about a work story and an exchange policy. For those of you that are under 35, you will not understand what I'm about to say. But I will try to thoroughly explain it. So there was this department store called Eaton's. Yes, thank you. If you're over 35, I worked there. It's like the Bay. If you're under 35, it's like the Bay. Okay? But their exchange policy was literally, we will take back anything. Anything. Awful. If you have a management brain at all, it was awful. I was 16 and I was like, God, what is happening here? Okay, people would bring back stuff that didn't even belong to our store. And because I have like a justice streak, I'd call the head manager. Yeah, I got some crazies here and they want to bring back something that didn't even come from here. It's from the Bay. They got the Bay receipt. They got the Bay product. And he's like, take it back. Oh, they're at the wrong end of the mall. Shouldn't I just tell them to walk 500 feet? Like, no, take it back. I was like, okay, I'll take it back. We took it all back. You know how you buy a pillow and it's like no refunds? We would have taken them back. In fact, we did. I just never touched them. I was like, I'm on break. Somebody else deal with this. I am not touching that thing. Okay, P.S., who puts a 16-year-old Tom girl in the bedding department? People would come in and they're like, do you have pinch pleated drapes? And I'm like, nope. Do you got bed skirts? No, I don't know why your bed needs a skirt. So we don't sell those. Do you have table runners? Nope. I think that's in furniture. Like, I didn't understand anything about a house at 16 and they let me on the floor. I was like, what is happening right now? I got really weird names for anything. Anything. This was very, very hard on my management brain. I was like, I can't make sense of how we're making any money. Like, I'd literally go home and be like, I just returned $5,000 worth of product and only sold two. We're going under. They went out of business. Okay? The only way Eaton's would have the ability to sustain that kind of exchange policy, they would have needed infinite resources. Right? Which they clearly did not. They went out of business. Okay. Their exchange policy was compassionate and it was focused on the benefit of the customer, not Eaton's. Okay? I want you to know that our God, as an infinite God, has an incredible exchange policy. He never runs out of resources. He never has a problem with the returns. That when we bring to him something that we picked up at a different store, he can return it and it doesn't affect him at all. He already paid for it. The fullness is already there. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. You can bring to him every heaviness, every care, every concern, and he will have an exchange for it readily available. Okay, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. Okay, they're new every morning. That's our God, every morning. And who knows what time clock he's on? Is he new every morning on Australia time, Europe time, our time? Is he just refreshing all the time? He's got infinite resources to continually exchange for us. So God knew there would be times in our lives when we would need to exchange things that are of no value for us, but they're of great worth to him. Okay? He knew we would pick up ashes, you guys. He knew we would have mourning. He knew we'd wear heaviness. He knew there'd be times we'd be in despair. But we don't need to carry those things anymore. There have been seasons and times and people in our lives that have sometimes left us with stuff that we don't need to carry anymore. And this morning he wants to come and say, exchange it. Exchange it. If anything, this morning you have to feel his readiness. You have to feel his availability. I want you. I see you. This is today. Okay? So let's look at the first exchange here. Beauty for ashes. What are ashes? Ashes are the remnants of something that once burned bright and hot. You ever have moments where you look at your life and you're like, I remember that person. Full of dreams, full of joy, full of purpose, completely in love with Jesus. No sin attached, no shame attached. I want you to remember that person right now. Okay? Because sometimes when we're burning hot, we let a season consume us. And we let our beauty get consumed by life, by disappointment, by hurt, by anger. We get consumed, and all that's left is a pile, and we didn't maintain it. Okay, ever tried to clean out ashes? I don't recommend this. Let your husband do it. I used to try this as a teenager because we had a fireplace, and I literally covered. I was like, I don't know what else to do. I try to get it in the bag. It's all over the house. It's all over me. You have to have a shower after. Ashes are messy. They're messy. They spread easy. They stain. Okay? I hope you're picking up what I'm laying down. Ashes get all over you. What once was beautiful and defined you now is a heap that defines you, and it's got no purpose. There's no purpose to ashes. They're just messy. They're just yucky, and they just need to be cleaned out. Okay? Ashes are the leftover that once fueled us, the leftovers from what once fueled us. Okay? They were filled with potential, and now they're spent and used up. So what do ashes look like in our lives? They can be disappointment in relationships, hurts and pains from relationships. They can be failures that we're owning. They can be old dreams that have died. They can be old convictions that we let simmer out. Passions that we didn't pursue, insecurities that we've owned, we've let them all die. Just, this is what is now. It's just remnants of promise and passion. Even our love relationship with Jesus can be reduced to ash. Okay? We were made to burn for him, but if we have not discarded the ash compiled in our hearts, we become covered by that burnout and become known by the markings of ash rather than the beauty that is promised to us. Okay? Ashes are meant to be cleared out and disposed of. You don't clear them out and keep them in your living room. They're going to get on everything. Please don't sit there. That's the ash pile. You'll never get that out of your pants. Just bum marks everywhere. Okay? They're meant to be discarded of, thrown away. And sometimes we just maintain them because we're comfortable with them. It burned out, so this is all I know. This is what I have, so I'm going to bring this to you. Okay, that's a good idea. Bring that to him. And he's going to say, I want to take that. I want to take that and give you something beautiful. Okay? We need to take inventory of our hearts and see if there's any pain, grief, or loss that have left places that are dead and cold in us. This past season, are there places in you that you're like, this is what I planned, and it didn't happen, and you're grieving? You feel the loss. There's some ashes there. You want to clean it out. There's some disappointment with people. It's burned out. Clean it out. Okay? It's in your heart, so clean it out and let him speak to it. Jesus wants to come and clean the ash of our hearts, but we have to recognize our need and welcome him to begin the exchange process, okay? I can't return something I never bring to the store. I'm just hoarding. I'm not a hoarder. Just, if I don't clean it out and bring it back, I'm holding on to it. I'm hoarding it. Okay? We need to let go of our ashes and let him make everything beautiful again. The second exchange we're invited into is the oil of joy instead of mourning. What is mourning? As a culture, we don't do this well. Okay? Just going to say that right out the gate. We need to get better at this. But mourning is defined as deep sorrow, great sadness, and lament, as well as an outward sign of grief or loss. So different cultures grieve in different ways. Okay, some cultures, if there is a widow, she'll wear all black with a black veil on. Why? So you can tell you've had some losses, you're in pain, let her, allow this, allow the deep grief, allow the crying, allow the sighing, give her some time. Okay? That's easier to see when somebody's wearing all black and a veil. Why they wear the veil is so that you don't have to take in all the pain. Okay, sometimes mourning is like that for us, except when the veil is gone, the veil's not really gone. We take it off because people expect us to, and there's still mourning going on. There's still deep sadness. There's still deep lament that we didn't do. We just wore the outfit for a bit. Okay? Mourning is actually a healthy process in life. It's good for the soul. Okay? It's actually great to invite the Holy Spirit into mourning with you. Lamenting, getting it out, recognizing, acknowledging it, and then placing it before the Lord. Okay? Here's the key, though. We are not meant to be defined by our grief, pain, disappointment, and losses. That is not how we define our lives. You won't find that in the Word. You won't find that in the heart of God. It calls us overcomers. Okay? We're not meant to be defined by that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means we don't define ourselves by it. Okay? Death and dying seasons try to define us. Anyone else? You feel it, you carry it, you own it. It becomes a thing. But it's not meant to define us. Our hearts feel so much sadness and pain that we start believing it's actually who we are. And that Jesus can't mend it, even though he said in his word he can. We change belief systems. I believe this is who I am because I feel it so deeply. We're hanging on to the pain. We're hanging into the mourning. Okay? In verse 1, our text says, he's on assignment. This is his mandate. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. If you're mourning today, know that Jesus is on assignment for your heart. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted. It also says in Psalms that he is close to the brokenhearted. So if you've ever felt alone, just one word, Jesus. Jesus. And he's right there. He's right there because that's who he said he is. I'm on a mandate mission, and it's to be with you, and it's to bind up your brokenness. Okay? We need to participate with him in this. Again, this isn't going to just happen to you. That was a little bit of a spank. Just a little one. If you've been an intern, you know what I mean. Just ever so slightly pay attention to, we participate. Okay? We must let the pain and grief, which has defined us for a season, be exchanged for the oil of joy. I give full permission for mourning and lament to be exchanged for the oil of joy. I have to agree. I have to bring it. I have to take all of it and go, you can have it. You can have it. When I'm good and ready, when I've done the healthy process, don't do it before it's not time. Bring it when you're ready and let him exchange it. Okay, the oil of joy is supernatural. It's a gift. It's not happiness. It's a gift. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's an anointing. Okay, you have to be able to own the anointing that he puts on your life. I'm taking this thing and I'm exchanging it for the supernatural that's available. Okay, his anointing breaks the yoke. What defined your heart and your life for a season, I'm believing today there's freedom that comes through the exchange and lets the Holy Spirit break the burden. Not your strength. Let the Holy Spirit break the burden. Okay, this is not just an outlook, it's an anointing. It's not just being strong, it's an anointing. It's not a personality trait. It's an anointing. It's a gift. Okay? We have discussed here before that the anointing is 90% fragrance. Pastor Matt has said, if you break open a jar of anointing oil, you're going to smell it. Okay? It's an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere. Fragrance is an invisible atmosphere that you can perceive. If you're carrying mourning, it's an invisible atmosphere that you can perceive. But he wants to take that atmosphere and exchange it for one that you can carry as an oil of joy. Okay? Jesus wants to come and anoint us with the oil of joy and change the atmosphere over some lives today. Again, we participate with this. This has to be consent. I'm choosing not to be known by the dark veil anymore. I'm choosing to not see through that anymore. I'm going to see through the anointing. I'm going to see through what's available. I'm going to see through the gift that you've given me. Okay? So this is a process. Psalm 23 says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, on the other side, he will anoint my head. Okay, again, I just want to point out, it's a process. It's a process. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, on the other side, you anoint my head. I just want to encourage the healthy process of mourning. You need to walk through it. And on the other side, he's going to anoint your head. You're going to give him your journey, and he's going to give you the oil of joy. Okay? You are not meant to dwell or live in the valley of death. This morning I'm prophesying over somebody and I know it. You are not meant to live what feels familiar and heavy. It's like a foreboding spirit. You're not meant to live there. You're not meant to camp. You're not meant to set up. You're not meant to get an address here. You're journeying through it. You're going through it. You're moving. You're not staying there. You can't pick up a postal code in this journey. You cannot find your habitation in death and mourning. You cannot. That's not how you were meant to live. Okay? You make it through to the other side. You pass through it, and then he anoints you. You pass through it. I'm just going to keep walking. You want to know the hardest places to walk are the valley of death. Why? Because it's all you can see. All I see is death and loss and pain and discouragement. It's all I can see. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Don't dwell there. Don't get an identity there. It's not yours. It's not yours. And let's just be serious. It's from the enemy. It's from the enemy. Do the healthy process, but don't pick up your identity there, okay? And right here, right in this process, where it's so painful and so tender that it does actually feel like this is me. This is my life experience. I'm speaking to you right now. Trust him. Trust him. It is the most tender place you might ever sit in, but get up. You sat down in the valley of death and you need to get up. You need to get up. You need to recognize the community around you and get up. And I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit right now. If you sat down in the valley of death and it became who you are, get up. Get up today in Jesus' name. Get up and start walking. You can't stay there. You can't stay there. Okay, you need to trust him because you become familiar with carrying your pain. It's what you know, okay? You can trust him as you exchange him for what he's offering. The third exchange is a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness or despair. Okay, heaviness and despair is quite simply a loss of hope. Loss of hope. It feels heavy. It feels weighty. Feels like I don't want to try. I can't. I won't. I'm all done with that. Despair and heaviness, it has no hope in it. You're just unable to see it or feel it anymore. Okay? Like when a teenage son is so hungry and they need food. That's despair. You forgot to feed me. The world is over. I can't believe you don't see me, that you forgot. My stomach is rumbling and I'm surely gonna die. And then you pull out a snack and they're like, thank you. Okay, I'll just go get a third job. Hey, all you that had a teenage son. What? I always say, just a hint, if you have a baby boy, start saving now. They turn 12 and you dip out of that account, you'll think of me. Okay, but for real, despair or heaviness, it's more than a feeling. It's more than a feeling. It has a feeling, but it's more than a feeling, okay? It says a spirit of heaviness. A spirit of heaviness. So when we are in battles and trials in our lives, we can take on despair because we are fighting an enemy that is trying to wear us out. Okay? If you've never, ever thought, why do I feel so attacked? The enemy is trying to wear you out, to run you in a vicious circle, take all your strength, and make you sit in the valley of death. Okay? That is his assignment. He's not crazy. It's not weird. That's his assignment. I have come to steal, kill, and destroy. What's God come for? I have come to give you life. It's the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite, okay? But when he's wearing you out, remember that he never plays fair and he never will. So when you're running in the vicious circle, stop and remember, wait a second, this heavy feeling that I feel, the losses that I'm feeling, the despair and the weightiness that I'm feeling, I don't want to own this. I don't want to feel this. What could I do with it? I could give it to God. I can bring this in exchange, a garment of praise. Again, here's where we participate. Who feels like praising when all you feel is hopeless? Who feels like singing a song about how worthy he is when you're like, my world is falling apart? That is exactly when you worship. That is exactly when you worship. Because the enemy has invaded your territory and you need to take back your territory because it's yours. The enemy cannot infringe on what you give to Jesus. Okay? So you give him your song when you can't. You just it out. Okay? I have had to sing through tears, and I'm sorry to anyone who's ever had to hear me sing through my tears. It sounds awful. When you're sobbing so hard that there actually are no words, you just know that they're there. But there's a place of worship that's coming out of you that is a gift to God. And it's a gift to you. And it's an exchange policy happening. I will not wear this despair. I will not wear what the enemy's trying to clothe me in right now. I want the garment of praise to mark me. I want to be marked by the song of the Lord. I want to wear the garment of praise that he said I could have, because it changes the atmosphere that I'm living in, and it brings me freedom as well as the people around me. Okay, Paul and Silas, quickly, in the jail. Okay, that's despair. I'm locked in jail for preaching the gospel. Let's just define this. They're doing all three exchanges right there. Okay? They start singing. Before we think he's a superhero, he's a human who's feeling it. I can't believe I'm locked up again for doing what was right. I can't understand. But Silas, here we go. Key of G, buddy. And I won't sing, I promise. They start singing. And the chains start breaking. And here's the bonus. Everybody in there got free. Everybody in there got free. Why? Because your song was meant not just for you. It's not just for you. And over this house in this season, our song isn't just for us. It is for you for an exchange policy. And then it's got a deeper purpose. It's got a mandate. Why give us a garment of praise? Why is that in Jesus' mandate? Because the song matters. Because worship is a weapon. Worship's powerful. Worship is truth being declared to God. Worship is an agreement. Worship is assault on lies. Okay? Worship is the praise that we wear. Okay, this garment is meant to clothe you from head to toe. No part of you missing. I could look at you and go, you're marked with a garment of praise. Wow, what a worshiper. Not because you have pipes. Not because you can. That doesn't mean you're worshiping. That means you're singing. I mean worshiping. I mean praising. I mean exchanging what was for what is. Okay? Praise is how we fight in agreement with Jesus and bring the atmosphere of heaven over us. That's powerful. Praise is how we agree with Jesus and bring the atmosphere of heaven over us. If you ever feel like I don't want to sing, sing. Worship, praise, and fight. Okay? It's a weapon. Okay? Despair can cause you to lose heart, become bitter, tired, hopeless, and wanting to give up. But if you will exchange, if you choose the exchange that removes the heaviness by putting on the garment of praise, then you can be filled with the fight that you need to overcome. You can be filled with it, but I have to let go of my despair. I have to let go of it. I'm choosing this garment. I'm not going to be known as despair. I'm not going to be known as hopeless and helpless and bitter. I'm going to wear this garment. This is what people are going to call me. I'm going to have the testimony of Jesus on me. I can't go back to what was. Now I'm known as a worshiper. Now I'm known as an overcomer. Okay? If there has been a battle in your life for your song, in particular today, like singing a worship song is painful for you. It's painful because it's an ache. It's a rejection up here and in here. I'm not singing these words because I don't know if I can trust Jesus with them. Okay, if it's an ache for you, if it's been a battle, for your song and for your hope today. I want to encourage you to exchange the despair. There's been something that has caused you despair and heaviness. And you can bring that thing that defines you right now and exchange it for a garment of praise. And I want to encourage you to do that today. The song that's been missing is returning. It's being returned to you. The pair of jeans that don't fit you are being exchanged today for the pair that do. And you're going to rock them. Okay, you're going to be known by them. It's a garment. I got this garment from God. He saw me and he knew me. Okay, so today we can exchange our weakness for his strength as we praise. In Psalm 42:11, it says the psalmist here declares over his soul, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." This is a prophetic declaration to someone in despair. Why am I so downcast? David can answer this. But it says, put your hope in God, for I will yet. I will yet. I'm about to exchange. I'm about to praise. I'm about to tell my soul, I'm in charge. God's in charge. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. So I'm exchanging this hopelessness for a garment of praise.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.